Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Time for us to turn our attention to La Liga. Graeme Hunter, good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, baby.
Football's back.
Good. Yeah. Good. Fantastic. Listen, I'll tell you before you ask me one of your famously searching questions, which is the main reason I keep coming back over the years. It's been brilliant. It's been absolutely sensational. It's been a long time since I've felt so proud of La Liga, because right now there's no question in my mind that we're watching a level of team building and possibly a level of football which isn't as high as the 18 years previously that I've lived here. Still extremely good. Still the principles are all very good. And since the restart, Jared, the football has been absolutely sensational. I've watched a lot of English football, a lot of German football. I must admit, I haven't bothered too much with Serie A. And the Spanish football, the level of entertainment, the number of stories, the quality of the play, the quality of the athleticism, which I didn't really expect, has been fantastic. And it's been, I would say, since restart, as entertaining, maybe more entertaining than the previous, whatever it was, let's call it 6 months of La Liga season. It's been absolutely remarkable. And even though it's an onslaught, for anybody who cares about their work, their standards, new football every single day, it means that you're on your toes, very little time to assimilate, lots of research, masses of reading and watching. It's brilliant trying to cope with that.
And have people generally acclimatized to the conditions of not having fans in the stadium?
It depends what you mean. Do you mean the players?
Well, I mean, like, are people watching it and going and getting enjoyment out of it and getting, like, is it actually, because the whole question about will this boost morale, I mean, I actually think it probably has in many ways.
Look, Jared, we're such a different country. I was listening into your previous item. We're in such a different situation from yourselves in Scotland and England. And maybe, you know, because you're now, you know, off the ball AM and, you know, you're on the internet, maybe you've got a worldwide audience in the States and so on. But Spain is in a position whereby they fought back from being, you know, the epitome of the crisis taking root. And what you'd have to say is an next to intolerable number of deaths, to a position whereby, you know, evidence of spikes elsewhere. People are living pretty normal lives here. The economic devastation has been huge. But during the worst of the lockdown, the weather in Spain was atrocious. Suddenly, the weather has bucked up. It's taken far longer for summer to kick in here. That helps. Secondly, people are de-escalating the measures. Not masks, not the request for a meter and a half social distancing, not the idea that you should be constantly washing your hands, not sneezing. All the items that you were talking about. But cinemas are open, gyms are open, people are back to work, people who are leaning on government support are now being allowed back to work. At the moment, we haven't been hit by what will come, which is the devastating redundancies that are bound to come as the economy contracts. It would just be infantile to pretend that's not going to happen. But when I walk around the city in which I live or travel around it, when I talk to people from other cities, when I watch the news, Spain is back to something resembling normality. And has La Liga helped? I suppose not if you're a fan of Espanyol. poor guys are sacked another coach. They're going to go down. They've left it too late to fight back. Not if you're a fan of Mallorca, who play absolutely lovely football. We pumped Celta Vigo last night, and Celta Vigo at the weekend drew 2-2 with Barcelona. Mallorca pumped them 5-1. Mallorca have waged war in recent weeks on bigger clubs, and They play a lovely brand of football. They're going to go down too, I think, although that's less settled. So if you're asking fans of those clubs whether football being back has helped their general demeanour, I'd say no, but the rest of the country, definitely.
I think from watching the Spanish coverage, it's quite similar to the Premier League, that good games are still good games, crowd or no crowd. So you watch Liverpool in full flow against Crystal Palace or that Chelsea-Manchester City game, you don't notice the lack of a crowd. And likewise, last night, watching Barcelona against Atletico Madrid, okay, there isn't the atmosphere and you've got the fake crowd noise and all that, but the quality of the game, it felt like watching a match of importance, of a game that would have consequences. In comparison to, say, Crystal Palace-Burnley the night before, which is probably what Crystal Palace-Burnley always was. It's a two average teams playing an average game of football. Like, the best are still the best, and you can still get as wrapped into it and as caught up in the moment. I don't know if you found that doing the commentaries on the Spanish games. Was there a dip in what you would normally see from Barça Atletico Madrid last night?
No. I'm glad you made the point that you did. This isn't the forum for it, and I want to be careful about how I choose my words, but there are so many games in the English Premier League which are tosh. You know, it's like watching paint dry. The lack of tactical intelligence, the lack of technique, the emphasis on running hard and jumping high, that's not for me at all. And I think that malaise is increasing, and therefore your comparative point is good. If you get the elite games in the Premier League, then if you want to do a taste test across that in the La Liga, then choose which one you want, that's fine. But when I've been co-commentating on the football in Spain, I've enjoyed it immensely. And for example, I would say Real Madrid-Valencia, which was a toe-to-toe contest, irrespective of it finishing 3-0 to Spain's champions-elect, we saw strategy, quality of play, technique, wit and intelligence on the pitch, skills that were dazzling. We saw two of the best stories of this or any other season with the return of Marco Asensio and his utterly brilliant goal. And then what I thought would guarantee be Spain's goal of the season, when Asensio on the right-hand side chips it in, Benzema on the run, flicks it past Guillamon with his right foot and then left foots it into the top corner from the edge of the box. And, you know, within a couple of days, Geddes ran the length of the pitch twice, beating 26 men for Valencia to score in the top corner. Benzema backheeled to Casemiro the other day for Real Madrid against Espanyol. There was another one, Santi Cazorla's control of a howitzer ball from his keeper that travels 3/4 the length of the pitch and goes into orbit twice around Jupiter, comes down, Cazorla cushions it off his left foot, and Gerard Moreno running in, left foot volleys it past it. The thing that has knocked me out was I thought that because Spain, La Liga in general, preferred a pace of game which allowed strategy to develop, which allowed skills to be dominant rather than athleticism, I thought that if there was a dip in any kind of intensity or athleticism after the lockdown, what we'd be watching would be kind of slow motion football. It'd be good, but everybody'd be reaching for the button to say, where do I speed this back up to normal? And it hasn't been like that. So the work that has been done in prepping for the comeback, the personality that the vast majority of footballers have shown, in which case I'm not differentiating from the Premier League. We live in an era of perma-fit footballers. I'm massively older than you two, but, you know, it was commonplace to half of my life and you know, a quarter of my working life for footballers to come back from a break, normally the summer break, you know, half a stone or stone overweight, and then work it off. You know, okay, this development in perma fitness has been coming for some considerable time, but now it's inbuilt, it's DNA. The footballers go away, and if they've got a break, they come back in better shape, right? They need to build up match sharpness, and team play can cost, say, a goalkeeper to make mistakes because you can't practice that on your own, and they didn't have enough build-up time. And there's been some keeper mistakes here which are now stopping again. The quality of the football has been utterly brilliant because the teams have come back refreshed, and perma-fit footballers take far less time to be at peak again. So what I think we've seen is a magnifying glass on the brilliance of La Liga, where skill, technique, imagination, the ability to beat a man, the ability to do remarkable things that would get the fans, if they were there, on the edge of their seat. I'm not saying now that Barcelona and Atleti and Real Madrid are the three best teams in Europe, something that you could have argued about over the last 10, 15 years. They probably aren't. But in terms of the quality of the football that I'm watching, I think right now, as we speak, it's the best in the world.
Graham, the off-field stuff has been a nice accompaniment to the quality of the football in terms of the storylines, and none more so as at Barcelona, where the crisis seems to have enveloped and it seems to be taking on a life of its own. Are we witnessing the end of days of the manager who is really only there a wet week?
But Jerry, you know fine well that the end of days for the manager, apart from Kike Setién's payoff and his dignity, that doesn't matter a hoot. I would compare it to, you used to hear horrible tales about when you cook crab or lobster, you start the temperature low and you boil it up so they don't notice, and then by the time it's boiling, they're ready to eat. And there's a brilliant Bugs Bunny cartoon about that too, where he thinks he's in a bath and he's scrubbing away and he's been cooked. Barcelona have been brought to the boil and they're being cooked because they haven't noticed over the last 4 years how despicably bad the idea behind the club, the decision-making, the corrosion of good ideas, of a corrosion of the Bible that made them special from the last time they were in this much trouble, because this goes back beyond the last time they didn't win a trophy, which is 2007-08. And at the moment, although it's not impossible that they either win the league, and the quick stat there is that Barcelona's draw last night against Atleti means that they've drawn three times since the restart. They've tossed away their lead. Real Madrid lead the league by 1 point. They've got Getafe at home on Thursday night, where I'll be co-commentating, after which there are five games left. If Real Madrid beat Getafe, it's a four-point lead. Now, all I'm saying is that the last time Barcelona as an institution were in this much of a mess was 2001-2, 2002-3, before the Laporta revolution, the change that brought a reversion to Cruyff principles. Those Cruyff principles have made Barcelona, without question, the single most successful club in the world from about 2003 until yesterday. But what's happened is the club, the board, certain players, agents, hired hands have all gone either, well, we know better, or what went before doesn't matter. So what we've got now is not just a referendum on Kike Setién's job, because he won't last. There's no, and the most likely scenario is that the board, which has got one more year of mandate before they're obliged to call elections, that they tough it out, that they don't do the decent thing and resign. They probably try to hire Ronald Koeman. He's got the European Championships in theory, you know, God willing, next summer. They'll probably say to Koeman, okay, in the meantime, coach Barca for a season, and then we'll free you to prepare for Euro 2021, whatever you like. Because everybody reckons that the incoming candidate, Victor Font, will win the elections. He will want Jordi Cruyff to be director of football. He'll want Xavi to be the coach. Whether he achieves those things, who knows, lads? But that's what he's going to want to do. So anybody who's taken over from Kike Setién knows that there's a fighting chance that they've got a year, one season, a season that, who knows, could be disrupted by another explosion of a pandemic. Who knows about that? I'm not a doctor. But the key thing is, it isn't simply the team that looks flaccid and a training ground which is run by a hard coterie of senior players who haven't dropped their levels in terms of training or how fit they are or how determined they are to win titles. What they've done is, because they're players, not a coach, they've not noticed how different environments are in winning training grounds around Europe. And it's cost them, because even as determined, brutally determined footballers like Pique, Suarez, Messi, Busquets, Alba, there's your hardcore, there's your Praetorian guard of players who kind of will never come out and say it, but act as if we own this club, we own this dressing room. And they're good enough to be neck and neck with Madrid right now. They were good enough to go to the semi-final Champions League last year. They've been good enough to do this and hold Madrid off season after season, because as well as being brilliant footballers, they're tungsten, tough, hard men. But are they able to run a club and run a squad and run a dressing room? No. So there's been corrosion after corrosion after corrosion of standards from top to bottom, to the point whereby you know, boo-hoo, I'm not a Barcelona fan. What I will cry about is if we lose the Cruyff way of life, if we lose the principles. I don't particularly care which club they're applied at, and you can find versions of them around Europe. But Barcelona became the leading light, the torchbearers for a brand of football that the world fell in love with. It's the, one of the principal reasons that we've been talking for 17 years, and it's being eroded right now. And that's the thing that I find most distressing to watch. Human fallibility is almost boundless.
The Praetorian Guard that you detail there, none of them are new. None of them have arrived in the last number of seasons. And the figures have been 700, 800, 900, a billion spent in the last, invested. Obviously, some money comes back in as players move out as well. But the signings have just been not catastrophic, but like not great, not good.
No. You could go back to your first term if you want. Catastrophic,
So much money invested and no significant influence on style of play, ability to win games, quality of defence, quality. Like, there's just been a constant churn of superstar players who come, somehow get cowed by the Praetorian Guard or bad management and disappear.
Both. I mean, there's one of the players who's come who was left in pieces by trying to build a footballing relationship with Messi. Now, my point of view is that life is hard, life is tough. You've got, in whatever sphere you're working, you fight to survive, irrespective of how much quality you've got. So I'm not endorsing that player's point of view, but there is a player who's part of that influx whose sporting well-being is in pieces because of how tough it is to build a football relationship with Leo Messi. And when the door is shut and things go cold, it goes very cold. Because Messi is, he has standards that are at or around the level of his genius. And what he hasn't got is the ability to be flexible and say, I understand your difficulties, or I'll help you, I'll bring you along. Or it's not like that. It's like, well, Alba understands me, Busquets understands me, Piqué's always understood me, Ter Stegen understands me. Work my way or else I'm not particularly interested. And that applies upwards to the current coaching team, for whom he's got very little respect. And, you know, when the current coaching team held a group Zoom meeting, there was a couple of them, but one of the ultimate ones before the lockdown ended and training began again, I think a handful of players turned up 10 minutes late for the Zoom meeting, and one of them turned up last, the last one to turn up. What's this about? Is this important? I've got things to be doing. You know, so Dr. Ferguson, you know, in response to your question, would have said, listen, irrespective of who these Praetorian Guard are, and probably including Messi, if there's a demeanour that they're bigger than the club, if there's a demeanour that they run things, then they're out. And we don't need to quote case studies because everybody in your station knows them inside out. He wasn't infallible, Alex Ferguson, but he had it right about where the balance of power has to be. The trouble is, because this is a compound fracture there, this isn't just a nice snap of the leg. This is a compound fracture whereby the board is enthralled to Messi because they cannot afford, given how bad their reputations are now and how much they all want legacy, they cannot afford to be, in their minds, to be the ones that either call Messi, not to heal, but say, We need a new mature version of Leo Messi. Or, you know, I'm not suggesting for one second that they sell him and let him go, but there hasn't been a proper project about how to manage Leo Messi's dotage, how to manage him, how to manage his talents, and how to build a team around him. So the compound fracture is they've hired coaches who've been there to try and balance the situation, to kind of actuarially go, oh, here's about the best I can do. Now, that's not what they did with Pep Guardiola. It's not what they did with Luis Enrique, and that's not what those two men stood for. Right or wrong, successful or failure, they were clear about, this is the way that I manage, this is how you must toe the line, and if it brings sparks, I don't care. Fail or success, the Monday morning quarterback thing about those two men both having won trebles is not my point. it's about the management style, and very few people could come in now and properly manage the situation of the Praetorian Guard in the way that is needed, because they won't come in with sufficient power or backing. And with each passing month now, the players know that this board is on its uppers. They've had to sell players. There's been a fire sale at the camp now, which has been hilarious to watch. This bookkeeping exercise between Juventus and Barcelona about Artur and Pjanic is a bookkeeping exercise. In which sane club would you sell a talented 23-year-old Brazilian whose behaviour has not been the best, but who is totally recuperable, and who, when he arrived, Xavi and Messi said, boy, this boy is the dog's cojones. Pjanic is a very good footballer. Pjanic might, in the short term, bring more to the first team at Barcelona than Arthur has been in the last 6 months. But he's 30, and the bookkeeping exercise, and people watching off the ball AM and when you repeat this need to understand, Barcelona's debt, the provisions in the statute say that Barcelona's debt is X percent at the end of an economic year, which finished yesterday on the 30th of June. If there's an X level of debt, then the board pay for that out of their own pocket.
Ooh.
Now, I'm not criticising them for running around like headless chickens going, geez, I'm not, you know, that's the kids' college fund, and that's my new Breville toasty maker. I'm not. So what's been happening is, they're like, where can we put Arthur? Where can we put Todibo? Cucurella. Oh, geez, he's still at Getafe. We haven't sold him yet. Sell. So Getafe have just bought Cucurella. And what we've seen is this incredible running around to save their own backsides, which is not a crime because it's their money. But how, lads, how did you get in the boiling water without noticing the temperature was going up? It's been pathetic to me. Pathetic.
Graham, great to see you looking so well, and great to be listening to you on the commentaries on La Liga TV as well. Keep it up, man.
Thanks, baby.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.